Hey everybody. As you can tell, I am not in the studio today. Bad timing. Sometimes pre-planned days off coincide with major world events. But I did want to make sure to talk to you guys because so many of you have reached out and said, oh, I look forward to hearing your show today. I look forward to hearing your show today on this momentous occasion, this historical day. So I want to make sure I gave you guys a little piece of my perspective of what's been going on the last 48 or so hours in the Middle East, especially as it pertains to America, to President Trump, all the ins and outs. So let's start with this. I love that it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Not because I celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. I still call it Columbus Day. You want to have that discussion? We'll have another time. But what I love about this is on the same day we signed the Middle East Peace Accord, we're talking about who's actually indigenous to the area we know as Israel in the Middle East. I find that very, very entertaining. Plus, President Trump has shown that it is much, much easier to actually solve peace in the Middle East than negotiate with Democrats. In fact, you can negotiate with Hamas easier than Democrats because the government's still shut down. In all seriousness, though, last night, there was an event for the Jewish holiday of Sukkot, which we're in the middle of right now. Sukkot booths, which is the holiday I've told you about before, where Jews build these little hut things outside of their homes. And for 8 days, we eat in the huts. For 8 days, we sit in the huts. Some people even sleep in the huts. And it's part of remembering the Jews wandering the desert in these little huts for 40 years. Plus, it commemorates the harvest festival. So we hang fruits and vegetables and decorations of fruits and vegetables from the huts. And we take certain fruits and vegetables and do ceremonies with them. That's what the holiday is all about. At the end of the holiday, we have a holiday called Simchas Torah, the happiness of the Torah, the celebration of the Torah. What's that? The Jews are on a cycle. Once a year, you get all the way through the five books of Moses in a scroll called the Torah, and you finish it once a year. It is literally in the Jewish calendar 2 years to the date of the October 7th massacre. Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, which lined up with Simchas Torah that year, because Jews are on a lunar calendar, not like our calendar here in America or in the secular world, which is the solar calendar. 2 years to the date when that massacre happened is when these hostages came home. Over 700 days in captivity. For comparison, the Iranian hostages, 444 days. And they were held in shockingly better conditions than we saw the Israeli hostages being held by Hamas. So last night, my brother-in-law did a celebration, an event at one of the synagogues. This is very customary on this holiday. You basically have 8 night of bar crawls, but really they're hut crawls, right? It's a lot of drinking on the holiday. Hamas knew that when they attacked on October 7th. And we're celebrating at the synagogue. And somebody has projected up on the wall one of the Israeli news stations. And the celebration quickly went from the Mariners to, oh my God, the hostages are actually coming home. We kept waiting for something to go wrong because Hamas is so untrustworthy. And then finally, you see the hostages coming home. I actually left the celebration to go home because I was having a very emotional reaction, but also I was covering it last night for the Post-Millennial, and I wanted to make sure to put everything out on Twitter because so many of you rely on me for that information. So I was clipping all the videos, putting out all the information as we knew about it. You can actually see the sequence of events over on my X account at the Hotfather. Watching this whole thing happen, I will never be the same Ari that I was on October 6th. I can breathe a sigh of relief, though. And there's natural skepticism about this peace deal. Let's start with this. Hamas has already violated it. What's happened already? Hamas was supposed to turn over the dead bodies as well. So they turned over the 20 living hostages. There are 28 dead bodies that haven't been turned over yet. Supposedly four of them are coming back today. We still haven't seen any evidence of that. So they're still holding those bodies. Now, they claim they don't know where they are. Well, they've held bodies before in the past. When I was a kid, there were some Israeli soldiers' bodies that have been taken, some people killed in captivity. We didn't get them back till recently. This is what Hamas does. And we shouldn't call it a hostage release, a hostage exchange, because the Palestinian terrorists, the almost 2,000 Palestinian terrorists that were given up for the 20 Israeli hostages, you're looking at rapists, you're looking at murderers. That's a ransom. That is a ransom. That is not an exchange. That is a ransom. And you are trading innocent civilians for people who are murderers, rapists, and terrorists. I think something that Israel really needs to consider is reinstituting the death penalty. Israel doesn't have the death penalty right now. But I think if you reinstitute the death penalty, you'll take away a lot of the incentives for these kidnappings. Otherwise, Hamas is just going to keep trying. In addition to that, why would Hamas want back close to 2,000 fighters so they can go back to the battlefield? You have to remember that there are two conditions that the Jews said, that Israel said, would end this war. One is a return of the hostages. Has that been met? No. We got back the live ones. We haven't gotten back the ones who were killed in captivity because they were abducted from a music festival and their own beds by a terrorist organization. First condition hasn't been met. Second condition is Hamas needs to surrender or be destroyed. That hasn't been met either. What's happening in Gaza right now, and you may have seen these reports over the last few days, is the Palestinians, now that they don't have Israel to fight anymore, are fighting each other for who gets to control what's left of Gaza. So you're seeing their own internal civil war between their own internal clans, and they're saying, Hamas, you failed us, we want a new champion. Who's going to be the next top dog in town? Who's going to be the next big Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, Palestinian Authority, Palestinian Liberation Organization? That's what's happening right now. They have no intention of surrendering. Now the question is, can the Arab states make them do that? So a little political intrigue that's been happening the last 24 hours. President Trump flies to Israel, lands in Israel right after the first set of seven hostages were released. It was really amazing timing. Lands in Israel, heroes welcome in Israel, addresses the Knesset after the other hostages are returned. It was really amazing. President Trump spoke beautifully. You can see the guy has like 105% approval rating in Israel. It was really an amazing speech. If you haven't seen it, it is worth watching the entire hour of that speech. It really, really is. Especially for the people who question why America and Israel have such a close connection. You should watch every single minute of the president's speech. But what happened during that time is President Trump then went to Egypt. Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, was not invited to Egypt. Don't believe the people who say, well, they don't like Netanyahu. No, the Arab countries, a lot of them don't like Jews. Qatar, Turkey, Qatar is still harboring the heads of Hamas in Doha. They do not like Jews. They do not like Israel. They have supported and harbored terrorists, as has Turkey. So they don't want Bibi Netanyahu to come because he represents Israel. How can you have a peace deal when one of the major players isn't there? Now let's examine this. Why are the Arab countries at the table? Because it's a lot easier to be friends with Israel than be enemies with Israel. So what Hamas said in notes that have been revealed, they said they did this. Why they do the October 7th attacks? Because they were worried about Saudi Arabia entering the Abraham Accords. And when Saudi Arabia does something, the entire Arab world does the exact same thing. So they were worried about Saudi Arabia entering the Abraham Accords. So they did the October 7th attacks, and new documentation that was discovered in Yahya Sinwar's hideout reveals that they specifically said, target civilians. We want to deal them a blow where they won't know what to do with themselves. Israel is faced with a seven-front war. On October 7th, right after Hamas attacked, Hezbollah started attacking from the north. Then you had the Houthi rebels, Syria, Lebanon. Everybody surrounding them was attacking them. And where's Hamas right now? They're destroyed. Their leadership completely decapitated. Their cities in ruins. Where's Hezbollah right now? Well, a lot of their midsections have blown up from Operation Grim Reaper. Look at the Houthi rebels. They're in retreat. Syria fell. Iran bombed out of the face of existence. Their entire Iranian nuclear plan destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. So these enemies who sought to destroy Israel are now gone. Iran was the big baddie. They were the ones funding all of this. And now they're off the map. Nobody's funding this anymore. So everybody's looking for a new power broker. Everybody's looking for a new backer. And right now, none of the Arab countries actually want to step up and back Hamas. It's a losing bet. So question is right now, is this temporary or is this something that's going to last? Now, it's fascinating to me to watch so many people in the media not give President Trump the credit he deserves. And you know what? He doesn't deserve all the credit for this. Decades of failed U.S. foreign policy by both Republican and Democrat administrations are responsible for October 7th. But the two most directly responsible for it, Barack Obama and Joe Biden. Why is that? Barack Hussein Obama was so desperate to get back into the Iran, to create the Iran nuclear deal, he had the cast of the Avengers doing commercials for it. Oh, we're all going to die. We have to be in the Iran nuclear deal. Call your congressman. All it was a payoff to Iran, a payoff to the number one state sponsor of terror. And what did the number one state sponsor of terror do? Sponsored terror. Now, when President Trump came in the first time, what'd he do? He cut off that funding. He cut off funding for the Palestinian Authority, an organization that has the pay for slave program, where you literally hand money over to terrorists who commit terrorist acts. He cut all that off. You know who reinstituted it? Joe Biden. You know who reinstituted funding Iran? Joe Biden. And that directly led to the October 7th attacks. President Trump came in and said, we're not going to pay you. You either do the right thing and have peace with Israel, or you know what's going to happen? We're going to wipe you off the face of the earth. Because Hamas is chanting not only death to Israel, but death to America. Iran is not only burning Israeli flags, they're burning American flags. They're also chanting death to America. They think Israel's the little Satan and America's the big Satan. So, failed foreign policy of the Democrats and Republicans led to this, but the funding of terrorist organizations was something that Barack Obama learned from Bill Clinton, who paid North Korea not to develop nuclear weapons, and look how that worked out for everybody. Really, just amazing foreign policy all these years by people who thought they knew better, mucking around at something they don't understand. They don't understand that UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Workers Agency that's in charge of Palestinian refugees, for years has been brainwashing the kids in the UNRWA schools to hate Jews, to want to destroy Israel. The schools have been sheltering terrorists for years. They've been used as rocket launch locations. Their hospitals have been used to hide weapons. Underneath the hospitals is actually where they have Hamas headquarters. They spent all the money that was given to them, billions of dollars in aid, when Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip in 2005. All the money that was spent internationally was spent on building terror tunnels, buying terrorist weapons. Talk about a colossal world failure. President Trump came in and said, nope, not doing that anymore. You want to do business with us? That's great. Otherwise, you're getting blown off the face of the earth. End of story. And when the U.S. bombed Iran and bombed their nuclear sites, he showed he meant business. Something else, when Israel said, we're going to go into Qatar and we're going to bomb Doha. Qatar doesn't want this happening on their land, but they're the ones harboring Hamas. That also pushed Qatar to the negotiating table. When the Abraham Accords were first created during the first Trump administration, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump did something very, very smart. They offered the Palestinians almost everything that they wanted. And the Palestinians said no. People like me were furious. We felt betrayed. But then we saw the brilliance in what they did. They said, it is better to be friends and do business with us than be enemies with us. And Hamas turned it down. Palestinians turned it down. So they went to the Arab countries and they said, what do you want from us? You guys are making peace in the Middle East contingent on a Palestinian state. They don't actually want it. They just want to kill the Jews. And the big threat right now is Iran. So wouldn't you rather be allied with Israel, who's our friend, than the Palestinians, who just wanted to kill everybody, including you guys? That's something people don't understand. Arab countries, Arab tribes are always at war with each other. So, other countries said yes. The Emirates said yes. Morocco said yes. Bahrain said yes. And they were about to expand those when Joe Biden got elected into office and threw it all out the window and went back to the old line of thinking, him and Kamala Harris, and they emboldened this. In fact, they made it worse after October 7th because they were so worried about losing Michigan, they emboldened the Hamas protesters. Kamala Harris. If Kamala Harris had, God forbid, won that election, we know that right now those terrorists would still be holding our hostages. Absolutely, they would still be doing it. I have no doubt of that in my mind. I believe that God himself saved President Trump from that assassination so that he could do great things, including releasing the hostages. Sometimes you are looking for God. Where can I find God? Well, sometimes you see him pass by, and I truly feel like we've seen that in the past few days. Look at the things that had to happen for this deal to be made. So now, where do we sit? This deal right here says, here's the plan we're going to follow. But at the end of the day, once again, the Palestinians have a choice. Are they going to choose life? Are they going to choose death? And are the Arab countries going to hold the Palestinians to it? Because they don't want the Palestinians in their country. If you want all this money to redevelop Gaza, then you have to have peace and you have to want to do business. If not, this ain't going to work. Thank you, President Trump, for getting back the hostages. Thank you for the first step. But what he did was set the table. He says, do you want peace? Do you want to do business with us? Or do you want to go back to war and fighting? Because then he's just going to take Israel off the chain and release them and let them do what they do. But now you have a different problem. You have the activists, you have the Democrats, you have the far left, and the woke right. You notice they've all been really, really quiet the past few days. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, horseshoe theory at its absolute worst. They have nothing to say right now, even though President Trump got this huge accomplishment, getting countries like Qatar and Turkey to the table. They have nothing to say because they wanted the destruction of Israel. Or they want the clicks off saying they wanted the destruction of Israel, which may even be worse. They're absolutely silent right now. The left wouldn't praise him if he cured cancer. They'd go smoke packs of cigarettes to get cancer. The left will never praise him. It was actually amazing to me that I saw Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, praising Donald Trump for the peace deal to the best of their ability-ish, because they've dealt with the Palestinians before. Let's remember Camp David Accords. When they were trying to have those before the Second Intifada, basically you had Bill Clinton and Ehud Barak, who was then the Prime Minister of Israel, offer the Palestinians 95% of what they wanted, and they still turned it down. Yasser Arafat turned it down and started the Second Intifada, an armed uprising. Well, now you've got the activists. What, you think they're just going to go home? No. You have a new problem. What's going to be the new narrative, this is my prediction, is they're going to say, you got your hostages back. Why are you still killing Hamas? Why are you still killing innocent Palestinians? Why are you still doing a genocide? Well, first of all, we didn't get back the hostages, as I explained earlier. But second of all, there are two conditions to this war. Israel has to be protected. Hamas cannot exist anymore. And they are choosing to continue to exist. Donald Trump basically offered them amnesty for all their crimes, to go home or to leave the country. He offered them that. And they are choosing not to do that. You have a culture that is based on a death cult, where they are saying, we are proud to keep hostages in our homes, in our family homes. I just finished Eli Shaarawy's book. He's one of the released hostages. He talks about the time he was kept in Palestinian homes. We know that one of these Palestinian homes was a journalist for the Palestine Chronicle, which is based right here in Washington. And they called him a journalist. No, he wasn't a journalist. He was a Hamas operative who identified as a journalist. So what's going to happen is, if there's any more war between Israel and Gaza to take out Hamas, they're going to say, see, Israel just wants to do a genocide. President Trump said something the other day. He mentioned the actual casualty count, where he said 50,000 Palestinians have been killed, or excuse me, 50,000 terrorists have been killed. And when you identify them as terrorists, not as innocent civilians, as Hamas likes to do, all of a sudden you realize that is the best ratio of combatant to civilian death toll in modern warfare, better than what the U.S. did in Iraq, in Afghanistan. That's less than a one-to-one ratio, which is huge. Israel takes such efforts to make sure they're not killing civilians. They drop leaflets. They send loudspeakers on cars through the streets to tell everybody. They make phone calls. They send texts. Get out of here. We're going to bomb here right now. It's the terrorists who use people as human shields. Question is, how many innocent Palestinians are there when they're brainwashed to terror? So what you're going to see is the activists do one of two things. If the war starts back up again, what you're going to see is President Trump has to hold the Arab countries accountable and say, is this really how you want to go? Or you want to say enough with this insanity in Gaza? And the other thing is, you're going to see the activists in the streets start saying genocide, genocide, genocide all over again. How come they're not celebrating today? If it's a ceasefire, which is what they wanted, haven't heard from the ceasefire now crowd. Haven't heard from the end of the genocide crowd. Where are they today? They are very, very silent, aren't they? Haven't heard from the people on the right who line up with the people on the left who say those same stupid things. They have been absolutely silent. This is a huge achievement, but it's just a starting point. And Hamas has never been able to keep going with any of these ceasefires, any of these deals that they've been offered. They don't want it. They want the death cult. That's what they're choosing. Now, they can choose to walk away from it. Have you had enough? Nazi Germany finally said, we've had enough. We want to denazify. We want to have commerce. We want to have our country back. And look at Germany today. Gaza can do the same thing. The Palestinians can do the same thing. But I'm not sure they're actually capable of doing so. Now, the activists have a choice also. Are they going to continue with the ceasefire now, even though there's a ceasefire? They don't care what the actual facts are, Queers for Palestine. They don't care at all. Or are they going to say, here's something new? If they pick something new, what are they going to do? They're going to double down on the anti-I stuff. Just watch, because the activists always need a cause. I noticed Bob Ferguson. Went to his page, had lots to say about Indigenous Peoples Day, Hispanic Heritage Month, nothing to say about a peace deal. In fact, I think the only one who said anything was Adam Smith. I think he was still the only one who said anything. I haven't seen Bruce Harrell. I haven't seen anybody say anything about this momentous occasion, about this incredible achievement. They are absolutely silent. Can't even give the guy credit. Can't even give President Trump credit for such a momentous, historical achievement. Feels a little different than it did with Oslo when I was a kid in sixth grade, when they wheeled a TV into our classroom for the Oslo Accords in the 1990s with Bill Clinton, Yitzhak Rabin, and Yasser Arafat shaking hands on the White House lawn. You knew that was doomed to failure. You're making a deal with a terrorist. Here, we're asking the Arab countries to hold the Palestinians accountable, to stop funding them for terror, and to say, no, we prefer being friends with the U.S. over being enemies with the U.S. Something that most people don't know is the Abraham Accords, those Arab countries, help put pressure to get the early ceasefires, to get the early hostages returned. If we see an expansion of the Abraham Accords, you're going to see a reshaping of the Middle East, where the Middle East won't be a hotbed of terror anymore. Or are you going to say, we hate Jews so much, we'd rather dedicate ourselves, our resources, our finances to terror, because that's what we're committed to. For me, just so you know how personal this is, and I think I've mentioned this before, I've got one son who's in training for the IDF. I've got another son who may want to follow in his footsteps. I've got family in Israel. Everybody is one degree removed from what happened on October 7th, or it happened directly to their family. I don't know anybody who isn't touched by this, because there's very few Jews in the world. This is something that affects every single one of us. Who are the people celebrating today? The people who are celebrating the ceasefire, the people who are celebrating the hostages coming home. It's all the people that the left called warmongers, or you just want to kill all the Palestinians. No, we want this war to be over, but we want Israel to be safe. We don't want 44 Americans to be killed. We don't want Americans to be kidnapped, along with Israelis or anybody else. That's something that the left continues to champion. Why? Why? The left has lost its way, and I'm not saying Democrats right now. There are Democrats like John Fetterman who are praising Donald Trump right now. I'm talking about the left. And the Democrat Party is being dragged more and more and more to the left, and they're brainwashing more and more kids in colleges, high schools, elementary schools to hate. And where does that get you? More October 7ths. More anti-American sentiment. That's what being taught. That's what's being taught in our schools. So, do I think the peace deal is going to hold? I hope the peace deal is going to hold. But I hope that President Trump leads on the Arab countries to hold the Palestinians accountable if it doesn't hold. And then he says to them, hey, look, guys, if you're not doing anything about this, we're going to do something about it. You know what it's like? I've got a lot of siblings. I'm the oldest of 11, for those of you who don't know them. And it's like when two kids are fighting, right? And you smack one, the other one smacks one, you're fighting over a toy, dad takes away the toy. And he says, that's it, the fight's over. Well, the kids can still keep smacking each other, and then dad's going to come back and get more pissed off. I can't think of a more apt analogy. Can you imagine if the Palestinians don't stick with this and President Trump's out there saying, I declared the war was over, I declared there was peace. He's going to say, you made it so there wasn't peace. And you Arab countries are the ones who are funding them. You make it stop now. But this is something else. We can't count on President Trump for this. These countries have to learn it's better to be friends with Israel. You know, right now, in the United Arab Emirates in Dubai, there are more kosher restaurants there than in Seattle, Washington, because tourism has increased so much, because so many Jews are going there, because so many Americans are going there, because so many people are going there. It is profitable to be friends with Israel. It is profitable to have relationships with the United States. And the Arab Emirates figured that out. So did Morocco, so did Bahrain, so did these other countries, so did Sudan. This is how peace happens, through trade, through business, through relationships. Questions is, will the Palestinians ever figure that out? And here's something else, my friends. You got a shelf life of 3 years. This has to be solved soon. It has to be standardized soon, because President Trump will not be the president of the United States forever. Somebody else will be president next. We hope it's a Republican, but they may not have the same worldview. J.D. Vance is more isolationist than President Trump. We'll see if that holds till the end of the term. We will see how that goes, but what if it's a Democrat? What if things swing completely in the other direction and a Democrat goes back to the same failed foreign policy that got us failure after failure after failure, terrorist attack, war after war after war, after October, and culminating in October 7th. What if that's what happens? You got a short shelf life here. A really short shelf life. Really appreciate everybody joining me today. I'll be back in studio on Thursday after the Jewish holiday is over. Until then, wishing everybody peace, a very, very, very happy Simchas Torah, Chag Sameach.